What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dream A Little. I'm your host, Lo. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an introvert in my everyday life, so when it comes to things like going to ABDL events, munches, or house parties, I really don't have any experience with that. I've only met up with a handful of ABDLs in real life, so that's why I was really excited to have Matt on the show. He is super active in the ABDL community. He hosts and attends munches, and he's been to 5 ABDL conventions. So today he's going to be sharing his best tips on how to find these events, what to expect when you get there, and we're going to be talking about some of the rules and boundaries. If you like this episode and you want to reach out to Matt or join one of his munches, you can find his contact info in the show notes of this episode at thelittlelounge.com/155. On that same page, you'll find a video of my latest Nurturing Mommy roleplay. If you need a little bit of help getting in a little space or you want to experience what it's like to have me as a mommy, be sure to check it out. Again, that's thelittlelounge.com/155. This is part 1 of 2, so stay tuned for part 2 coming out next week. All right, I won't make you wait any longer. Let's get started. What's up, Matt? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Lo. I am so excited to be here.
It's my pleasure, really. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit better.
Thank you, thank you. I'm ready to talk and see where this all goes. It's my first time being on a podcast, so
exciting.
I am excited.
Yeah, cool. So what do you identify as in the ABDL community?
In the community, I am an ABDL daddy switch.
Okay, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I've kind of got it perfected. I've been saying it so long to so many people. So,
okay, cool. So when you say you're a daddy switch, does that mean you predominantly are more of a daddy, but you have some switch tendencies?
No, it's funny enough, I identify as 50-50.
Okay.
So I feel like I am equally ABDL and daddy. You know, just right down the middle. And you know, I've had many people ask me that question over the years, and I honestly just feel equally both. Like, I've had people go, "Oh, are you more daddy, more little?" And it's like, there, for me, there is no more one than the other. It's I feel both equally.
That's great. That's really interesting. Usually people swing more towards the other side, but that's really cool.
Yeah, I've seen that too. So yeah.
Yeah. How old were you when you realized that you were into ABDL?
Legally 18, but I had this weird fascination with diapers since I was about 4 years old. And it just kind of grew into, you know, preteen puberty years of that. and it honestly, from there, I mean, I'm 35, so I mean, when I got the internet, I was probably 11 or 12 years old when we first got it in our house, and it really opened my eyes to the fact that I wasn't alone. So it just kind of progressed over time through teenage years into young adulthood at 18. Freshly 18, I started meeting other ABDLs, going to munches and even events out of town. My first out-of-town event, I was 18 years old, so.
You jumped right into it.
Yes, head first.
Wow, okay, so I have a couple questions. What was your first exposure online when you were like 11 or 12? Like, do you remember what you saw, or was it like a specific website or something on the internet?
Oh, I definitely remember. I typed in the words diaper fetish. Didn't even know what the word fetish meant. being that young, it's just like I just knew I knew the word, and so I typed in the word diaper fetish, and a website called diaperfetish.com came up, and it was just a website full of links. So I start going to these links, and it's picture pages, story pages, and so going to those websites, that was my first exposure, looking at pictures of ABDLs, reading stories centered around ABDLs, and then eventually, within a very, very short period of time, starting going into chat rooms, probably when I was about 13 or 14.
I know some people have like mixed feelings about when they first witness like that there are other people into ABGL. How did it make you feel to learn that like you weren't the only one?
It shocked me because I vividly remember laying in bed as 9 or 10 year old before I even had searched what ABDL was. And I'd lay in bed and I'd go, maybe there's some other kid halfway around the world that is just like me and has this weird fascination with diapers. And I was just like, yeah, he's got to, you know, it's got to be like one other kid in China. It's just like that I vividly remember that. And whenever I first got up, well, sometime around that time, I also saw talk shows with ABDLs. And I started going, am I like them? Is that why I like this? And then getting online and starting to meet other people and realizing, okay, not everyone are these crazy talk show people. You know, there are very well-balanced people in this community. And so it really kind of helped to open my eyes, especially whenever I turned 18 and was able to really start meeting people in real-world scenarios.
Right. It sounds like you were really excited to get into the real life community of ABGL.
I was extremely excited because, you know, I remember laying in my room at 17 years old, buying my first like real adult diapers and sneaking them in the house and wearing one. And I remember after taking it off and I was crying and slapping myself in the face going, what is wrong with you?
Really?
Yeah. I felt so ashamed. And just in that short period of time from 17 to 18, whenever I actually got to meet people in real life and know that there were really, really great people in this community that I could connect with and form friendships with, it really showed me that it's something that I shouldn't be ashamed of and that I should embrace. And that's what I did. You know, at 18, the people that were hosting the munch that I went to decided that they didn't want to host them anymore and they stopped. Well, I started them right back up at 18 years old.
Wow.
And the first event I went to was in Orlando and it was several states away from me. I mean, I had to get on a plane and fly there.
Wow. And
I met over 100 people, and this was over 15 years ago.
Wow.
So I dove in head first. So
did you go alone to your first event?
I went with a friend that I met at the Munches. Actually met on a chat room. And then whenever I turned 18, we met in real life. It was me and him and his roommate. And they're the ones that got me to go to the first Munches, and him and I went to that event in Orlando together.
What was your first munch like, and how did they find out about it? Were they already attending munches on the regular or something?
Yeah, they were already attending regularly. They were, if I'm not mistaken, the munch had a email
newsletter type thing.
Newsletter type thing that went out, and so that's how everyone stayed connected for their munches. And it was just everybody started meeting. I'm sure it's locally started on a website like DPF or chat rooms and kind of grew from there. And so that's how they knew about it, was through the newsletter type stuff. And then, I'm sorry, what was the other question? What other part to that question?
I know that some people will meet in like public spaces. Was that the kind of munch that it was?
It was. It was at a restaurant and you asked me how I felt about attending my first munch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was very, I wasn't as nervous as I would have been had I never met anyone in person before. But a few weeks prior, the two guys who were roommates that I went to the munch with, they actually picked me up and we went out to breakfast. And it was very chill, very casual, and they just kind of eased me into it. because I feel like if I would have just gone head first, like some people that I see at the munches that I host now, I would have been scared out of my mind. And this, I was nervous and I had the butterflies going on in my stomach, but overall I was a lot calmer than I would have been had that been my first in-person experience with other people.
That makes sense. Was it kind of surreal actually meeting up with these two guys at first and sitting across from someone who's also an ABDL in real life and being able to kind of talk about that stuff openly?
Oh, most definitely. So I was so scared. At the time, I was 18, didn't have a car. And so I said, you know, I don't want these guys to know where I live. I don't know them.
Yeah.
You know, so I had them pick me up in a fast food parking lot. And then on the way, they said, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to pick up another ABDL friend at his house. He's going to go eat with us. And so it's me at 18 years old and three 20-something-year-old ABDLs. And it was surreal, to say the least. You know, it's like, wow, there's people in my own backyard that are into this too. And they're just like, well, you haven't seen the half of it. Like, there's so many people in our area. And it was funny. So we went, we ate, we hung out. And when they were driving me back home, I got a little bit more comfortable. And I said, okay, well, you can drop me at the start of my neighborhood instead of all the way back. Like, I'll be that comfortable. It's 5 blocks away. So... And the funny thing is, they said, hey, you in the back seat where you're sitting, you see that duffel bag? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, unzip it real quick. They're like, we brought you some stuff.
What was it?
They brought me diapers.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, we know that you don't have like really good quality diapers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we brought these special for you. And that made me feel really, really good. And one of those guys I am still friends with to this day.
Wow.
So it's, yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool. So how long did those munches go on before whoever was running them decided to, they didn't want to run them anymore?
Well, they had been running them for a couple of years before I started. And then whenever I started, it was literally one or two munches and then they decided to stop and I picked them right back up.
So, what goes into hosting a munch?
Oh, so for me, it's actually getting the word out and promoting the munches and letting people know that they exist on, you know, platforms, whether it be social media or, you know, different ABDL websites or kink websites. And it's making also having that hospitable nature to yourself to where you can make people feel welcome. It's also you're having to take into account everyone in at the munches, their comfort, and you have to keep your eyes peeled for anyone that's breaking rules or skirting boundaries or outright, you know, just ignoring people's boundaries. And you have to, you know, be able to speak up and be assertive, but not in such a way that you're accusatory or rude. And so you've really got to kind of tiptoe around certain things and kind of be an authoritative figure as well. And then, you know, on top of all that, you've got to book the room or the restaurant wherever it is. And for me, I tried to set up a theme for most munches. So like Christmas, we did a white elephant gift exchange. I bring colors and crowns, markers, coloring pages sometimes. Valentine's, we did different personalized Valentine's and candy giveaways and stuff like that. Just little cute things that are little, but to the outsider, they wouldn't think twice about it.
Right. You're not doing like public diaper changes or anything,
exactly.
Just like
exactly.
Low key things.
Yeah, we are extremely discreet and, you know, I've put together a whole list of rules for people abide by, and also to just take into account, you know, comfort and respect of not just people in our group, but other patrons where we decide to meet up at, and the staff of said establishment. You know, it's a lot of thought that has to go into something like that. And also, if we have a private room, we can be more vocal about our conversations. And if we don't have a private room, then we have to kind of keep it hush hush a little bit and keep our eyes peeled for who's around us.
And probably talking, you know, kind of acronyms and things exactly. like that. Yes. Most yes. people would not know.
For sure. Exactly. Yeah.
So when you book these public places, say like a restaurant or something, I'm assuming the staff has no idea.
None whatsoever.
Okay. that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the rules too. On the event pages that I post is don't ask the staff for them more the munches, because they're not going to have any idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. They're going to be like, what?
I say like, if you're lost, then we typically have a box of crowns and markers sitting on the table so you can identify. And if you're still lost, just come to a big table full of people and ask if we're the munch group. But I also post on our event page when I get there, if we're not in a private room, exactly where we're going to be set up, what I'm wearing, so people can identify me. But I've also had to go as far as people messaging me while the munch is going on, going, I'm too scared to come into the room. Can you come out here?
Wow, really?
Yeah. And so that's why I keep my phone on just and check on, you know, like FetLife and make sure, and Reddit as well, just to make sure that, you know, if somebody is messaging, then I can be there and know that, hey, the munch is going on, but somebody has a question or whatever. And so I've had three or four different times where I've gone out and met with a person or a couple and brought them into the room and introduced them to everyone and said, you know, before I brought them in the room, everything, you know, it's fine. We all had our first munch and it's nothing to be scared of. I understand, but it's going to be fine. And you're going to get over this fear of walking into this room very quickly, because I'm just going to take you in there.
So. Wow. It sounds like as a host, you wear a lot of hats. You're a planner. You've got to be a good host. You're a good communicator. You're helping put people at ease. I mean, it sounds like a lot goes into it.
It does, but for me, it feels like I'm doing nothing. I've had so many people message me after the munches and thank you so much for what you're doing for the community, and, you know, can I buy your lunch next time, and things like that. And it doesn't feel like any type of work for me. It feels so easy, and it's just something that I love to do to give back, you know, and bring people together in the community.
Did you have any idea that you were going to love it this much?
No. Looking from it, I mean, looking back and in hindsight, I'm like, oh yeah, probably. Just because I had such a fascination and you know, I just a love for diapers. But you know, at the time, you know, going through everything, no, not in the least. I mean, hosting events has always been, even in my vanilla life, has always been something that I like to do. But I would have never thought that I would be so into bringing people together for no monetary gain whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like you're just super passionate about it.
I am indeed. I love it. And I've made some of my best friends through this community.
That's amazing. All right, guys, I really hope you're enjoying this episode. If you like what you heard so far, be sure to stay tuned for next week for part 2. I'll see you then.